share. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Donald Trump tells KSDP in Minneapolis he's not worried about the release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, saying it'll show the now-closed Russia investigation was a total phony. Former independent counsel Ken Starr tells Fox News it's proper that portions of the Mueller report being made public will be redacted.
Frustrating as it is, people would want to see more. The privacy of individuals is very important. If they haven't been charged with crime, their names shouldn't be dragged through the mud.
The measles crisis in the U.S. has grown to the second highest level in the U.S. in 25 years. In Rockland County, New York, Executive Ed Day says despite a court restraining order, an emergency order will continue to prevent unvaccinated children from going out in public.
In short, we were ahead of the crisis, but our efforts have been hamstrung by recent court rulings.
Michigan officials now say an outbreak in Oakland County is linked to the one in New York. Ukraine has the highest number of measles in the past year, 72,000 cases compared to the 500-plus in New York. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
An American astronaut is being remembered for also being a ham, USA's Chris Barnes explains.
Owen Gary had passed away on Monday at the age of 88 at his home in Huntsville, Alabama, according to NASA. Gary had served on the Skylab crew in 1973, Skylab being America's first space station. He spent close to 60 days in space, which was a record at the time. He was also part of the ninth space shuttle mission, flying aboard Columbia in 1983, operating a ham radio for the first time from orbit.
And then amateur radio's Man in Space went on the air.
This is W5LFL in Columbia. W5LFL in Columbia, orbiting the Earth at an altitude of 135 nautical miles.
Gary had later held other positions at NASA, including Director of Science. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Ambrose Lerone is the Adjoint Secretary General of the Conference of Bishops of France. He comments on the fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral.
Luckily, there was no casualty, and that's very important. Mm-hmm. No casualty except one firefighter, which was harmed. And second, yes, it's a good news that all the artifacts, the beautiful artifacts, have been preserved.
Nations are expressing solidarity with France after the fire. Donald Trump called the cathedral one of the great treasures of the world, and the Vatican said Pope Francis felt shock and sadness. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. This is a Tuesday, April 16th. It's actually the day after my birthday, and which was celebrated very nicely. My husband made me a wonderful steak dinner and a lovely birthday cake at the end of our dinner. So, and I'll be spending time with my family in the coming days and maybe in a week. But anyway, now so much for my birthday. It's Tuesday. We're here in Flemington, New Jersey. And we're located at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce building, which is on Main Street. And it's a beautiful restored, I guess it's like a Greek revival type of building. And we have a studio on the second level here. And in fact, I like to interview people. And today we had somebody scheduled, but it was canceled. So you get to hear a, I guess you could say, a hodgepodge of ideas for business. So it'll be worth it. In fact, I gave a talk this morning at the BIG, Believe, Inspire, and Grow, is a networking group for women. It was held in Whippany, New Jersey, this morning. It started at about 9:30. And the topic that I got into today at this meeting was entitled Monetizing Your Skills Requires the Right Target Market, Who Needs, Wants, and Can Afford What You Have to Offer. The folks that were in that session, I had about maybe 25, 26 people who attended the program, are all small business owners. There were two women in there who were looking for either starting a business or looking for jobs, and others have been in business in many, many different industries. And when I talk to a group about business and about marketing and selling skills and business plans and all kinds of topics, whatever I talk about applies to any business. In fact, somebody asked if what I would be talking about would apply to a service business, and absolutely. So there are some certain strategies and tactics one would use in their business, and by following them, they can be on the right path for sustaining their business and the profitability that they're seeking. So today we're going to be talking about how to some tips on actually target marketing. But and I'm going to get I have an outline that I used at my talk this morning, so I'm going to use that. But before I go on to that, we're going to hear a word from one of our sponsors, and then I will be back, and we'll get started.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
By the way, the weather has been wonderful here in Flemington and actually probably throughout at least north and central New Jersey. The temperature is about 62 degrees. The range of temperatures today was going to be anywhere from 65 to perhaps 45 degrees, but it's been up. It's probably 65 now. It's really nice out there. According to the summary that I'm looking at for today, it looks like we're going to have sunshine continuing through the days with some clouds mixed in. And tonight it will become overcast with a slight chance of rain. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, I think, as well, and with a low of about 45 degrees. So, and then going on to Wednesday, we're looking at cloudy skies followed by partial clearing with a high of 63 degrees. And Wednesday night, cloudy with, again, a little bit of rain that might be forecast. And if I come back for the next part of my weather, which I may not do, it depends on how far along I get with this information, we'll take a look at the extended weather forecast. So for your just to repeat, if I didn't say it already, I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I own Russmore Mentoring Group. And I've been in business, actually, since I was 10 years old. I tell people I've been in business. I've had my own business for over 40 years. And what I've learned over the years, both from having a real job, when I was a sales rep with Xerox Corporation here in New Jersey, I was the first woman to be a sales rep in New Jersey, in New Jersey. And then I went on to become the first woman to own a manufacturer's rep agency in the pet supply industry. When you're in sales, as I've been, if you don't sell, you don't put food on the table. It's real simple. So you have to really be organized. You have to have systems that will help you to sell. And so today, I was talking to the women at this BIG pod networking event, which, by the way, happens monthly. I'm a member of, and I'll just as a side, I gave them a bunch of sidebars today. My sidebar at the moment is that I'm a member of the Long Valley Chester, New Jersey pod, and their meetings are always on the second Wednesday of the month at Toys with Love, which is a wonderful meeting place and a beautiful toy store in Chester, New Jersey. And so the women I meet in these groups are very similar in terms of their goals and their aspirations and their desires to help one another, which is a big a big benchmark for the BIG organization. And what I mentioned to them today is that because I've counseled thousands of business owners since for the last 18, 19 years, I'm in the process of actually counting the numbers so I can be truthful in the number that I've met with. And I've taught, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of classes over the years. I find that passion is a big driver for entrepreneurs, but it's not the end thing. It's passion helps to them to demonstrate the enthusiasm, but you have to have a knowledge on how to run a business. So I mentioned to the folks today that quite often I meet people who launch a business but who never wrote a business plan, and I've taught classes on business planning. And in fact, there are professionals out there that can do that as well as to analyze business plans. I even had a fellow in one of my business plan classes who had started a business, I think it was like 5 to 7 years before he actually attended my class, but he said he never wrote a business plan. So it forced him to go back and reevaluate where he was, and that's what a business plan does. So passion's important. It's a driver, but it's not the end all. So you do have to have a plan. And so there are people that rush into businesses, or they may rush into some new ideas because a friend told them that they liked the idea, and they just go ahead without doing the research. You have to do your homework at every step along the way with a business. Business is changing, too, and changing at a rapid pace. So if you don't stay tuned to the marketplace, you stay tuned to the people that you want to do business with to find out what their needs are. And keep in mind that if you don't solve a problem, you don't have a business. So you have to find out what their problems are and so that you can develop an approach that will be suitable for them. Now, you've all probably heard the quote, you can't be all things to all people. And it's a common quote, but I thought, who said it? Well, apparently there's a Joseph Aboud, A-B-B-O-U-D, who made that statement. At least I found it online. And ironically, there was a woman in my class today who used to work with him. And I said, well, did he say that? Did he actually make that statement? And she said she wasn't sure, but he was very structured in the way he conducted his business, and he became very wealthy. So he must have figured out who his target audiences would be. So passion is a driver, but it's not the end all. You have to have a business plan, and you have to have strategies and tactics to grow a business. So to be successful in business today, and there's a lot of competition out there, you need to have a way to get people to come to you. I believe you need to have a marketing mindset that's you want people to knock on your door. Because I've been looking for customers for over 40 years, as long as I've been actually been selling for longer than that. But at any rate, and I started at the age of 10, of course. But you have to have ways to identify the target audience, and then you have to give them a message that will resonate with them. So to the point that there's a call to action that they want to follow up, because you want people to come to you. In selling today, if you're not focused, trying to find a customer, I think, is like finding a needle in a haystack. That's a lot of trouble, and it takes a lot of time, and it can be very costly. So you want to know who your target audience is, and you want to give them a message that will get them to knock on your door. I also mentioned to the folks today that websites, emails that you send out, newsletters, blogs, advertisements, even networking and speaking gigs, all of that is messaging that goes out. So in some respects, all those endeavors are referred to as being interruptive marketing. Within that marketing, those marketing messages, there has to be a message that said, give me a call. You want people to come to you. Now, if you're getting a lot of exposure on social media, keep in mind that you don't own those sites. They're owned by the companies that launch those sites. But you do own your website. So you want people to come to you. So there's a call to action. It will be either that they come to your website to do something, or they give you a phone call. You want them to come to you. So in the meeting today, one of the women said, well, what's a call to action? Well, a call to action, there's all kinds of calls to action. It could be a call to action to come to the website to sign up for a newsletter. It could be to request an assessment for services. It might be to enter a contest or to download coupons or to post a picture or to ask questions. there are many reasons why you can that you can give to your audience to get them to come to you. So you want inbound marketing. You want people to knock on your door. It's a lot less expensive than trying to find that needle in the haystack. And when you have those messages, it has to, those messages have to resonate with the readers. So when you're speaking, the message has to resonate to the listener. And if you're writing, they have to resonate for the reader. It's interesting. I critiqued a website last week, and every sentence in that website and every paragraph started with "we do this" and "our customers that." It was all the "we," "ours," "our," "us." There was no reference to the reader at all. So I told this, and there was no emotion in what was written. So keep in mind that people make decisions on emotion and they justify on logic. That's a statement that we've all heard over and over again, and it's true. So there were no emotional statements in her webpage at all, and it was all about the company. You know what? Whenever you're writing, it's not about you. It's about the reader. So I shared with the audience today the fact that I recommend a ratio of you and your versus I, we, us, me, and my. So for every 4 to 6 times you mention you and your, either speaking or in writing, you only mention yourself once. So, and what was interesting, the website that I'm referring to, there was wonderful information in there, but it lacked emotion. And I told the woman who owns the company that she could easily take what was written and switch all the words around so that it would reflect an understanding of where the reader was coming from. So just to give you an example, many people might write something like this. Our company has the most wonderful programs that will offer excellent opportunities for you. And it started with our company, or our program does thus and so. It can be turned around and say, when you'll discover when you review the material that you will have the one most wonderful opportunities for growing your business. So you can see, you can take the information, switch it around, and create a statement that's all about the reader. Because when somebody reads or listens, they're thinking to themselves, you've heard of the WIFM, WIFM, what's in it for me? They're thinking to themselves, why should I do business with this company? So you have to demonstrate that you understand where those people are coming from. And so, in fact, you're stating what their issues are, what you can do to help them out, and what the benefits are. Because people don't buy what you do, they buy what they get. So keep that in mind. Now, today we talked a bit further about narrowing down your target markets. And it's important that you consider the fact that you can't have too many people. You can't serve too many customers or too many categories of customers. So I typically recommend that you go after no more than 3 or 4 target audiences. If you become more diverse and you have more people that you're trying to reach out to, you drive yourself nuts. You have too many different marketing plans for each one, and that can be difficult. So I'm suggesting that you choose, and I'm going to show you an exercise, but I suggest that you only choose about 4 target markets to go after, because by lumping or categorizing prospects into one of 4 categories, the message that you send to the people in category 1, 2, 3, or 4, each message will be should resonate with the people that you put into those categories. I hope I'm making myself clear about this. So identify who you want to do business with, and figure out where the best opportunities might lie. Now, I think there is a degree of difficulty too in reaching some targets. You may know that you're very capable of serving certain types of clients, but it may be that getting to them is a whole other story that may be very difficult for you to reach them. So that becomes part of that consideration. Can I reach the people that I truly want to serve? Maybe there's some you're going to set on the side shelf for a little while so that you can go after the people that are easier to get to. But again, who exactly needs, wants, and can afford what you have to offer? You also, again, you want to consider who you're best suited to serve, And in many industries, there are target markets that have gone unnoticed or they're underserved, or perhaps there are niches within an industry. So look for those, because you may not be up against as much competition. So what I always say to people, who do you want to target? Who are they and where do they hang out? A big problem that I have is when somebody says, well, I can serve women between the ages of 35 and 60 who have a family income of around $500,000. And I said, okay, so who are they and where do they hang out? And what's interesting today when I gave this talk, there were very few people in the room who knew exactly how to figure out who their target should be. Most people don't have that luxury, and it truly is a luxury. If you don't know who needs, wants, and can afford what you have to offer, then you've got to reach out to people or through organizations that will get you to the person you truly want to get to. So you have to begin to consider who knows who needs my work or my services. I have worked in the pet industry since 1976 as a manufacturer's rep. And by the way, our company served about 100 manufacturers of pet products, and we sold them to distributors. I could figure out who the distributors were. They were my target. I could just go into directories in the trade and pick out all the names and put them in my database or my CRM system. But not everybody has that luxury. So if you don't know who needs you, you've got to reach out to people that know people. Very important. I'm going to take a quickie break here. We have some messages from our sponsors, and I will be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm usually here on Tuesdays from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In fact, in the coming weeks, I will be having some guests who will be interviewed. And whenever I do those interviews, have a pencil handy. In fact, you could have a pencil handy today, for that matter, but to make notes. But I try to pull out from each of the folks that I interview ideas that you can use for their businesses. And if you know someone who would like to be interviewed, you can certainly give me a call or send me an email. My phone number is 908-832-9544. That's 908-832-9544. Or you can send me an email at vmorgan@russmor.com. com. That's my website or my email address. So one of the things I told the folks who were in the room today who are already in business, they need to go back and analyze their customers that they've served or currently serving just to be able to profile them, because what sometimes people will discover is that certain customers generate more revenue for a company than others. And if you can analyze them, you may discover that you have clusters of clients who are profitable for your business. That being the case, you want to find more like that. One time I had a fellow who was an IT professional, and he was looking for more customers. And I said, well, he'd been in business for a while. I said, where do you make your money now? He said, well, I do a lot of work with accountants. And I think he also called, he had banks that he did work for. But I said, well, then go find some more accountants. If you're making money on accountants now, why don't you find a few more? Rather than try to infiltrate or get into another industry where you don't know the lingo, you don't know their systems. And when you stay within a category, you'll discover that people know one another. And you become the go-to person in that category. So you want to get referrals. You want to get influencers who will tell others about your fine work. So go back and profile your customers to see if they fall into some category. So if you have certain clients who make up, could be 15-20% of your business, but you probably could come up with a couple of categories of customers that you're going to try to attract that you don't currently have. So, again, you want to study these people in terms of demographics also. And I have a list here on demographics, like their generation and the age range that they fall into, their location geographically, their gender, income levels, education levels, marital and family status, occupation, ethnic background. I think the one important one here is the generation. We're dealing with baby boomers are leaving the job force at this point, but you have millennials, you have the generation X and Y. Now you have a new generation coming in who are the Z generation, or some people call them the I generation. And these are the people who are currently in high school in their early college years. And I get to know them because they're going to be in the workforce, and you need to know how to talk to them to determine what the best way would be to communicate with them. They have preferences. So, and by the way, as another sidebar, I told the folks today, make it as easy as possible for people to reach out to you. I'm amazed at how many people will give me a business card. There's no address on the cards. There's no zip code, no area code. Sometimes there's no address. That doesn't make it easy for someone to get hold of you. And I see the same thing on websites. In fact, I mentioned to them, when you will build a website and you have a contact page, just putting a form on there that people have to fill out is not really great. I think that the contact page can have the form, but you want to make sure that you put on there your name, your address, a phone number, your email address. And by the way, when it comes to phone numbers, I think phone numbers should be on the very top of the homepage, on each of the mastheads for each page on the website. That's probably another whole story, but I sometimes deviate from what I'm talking about here. So messaging, and know your demographics. Also know the psychographics. Well, understand personalities and attitudes, learning styles perhaps, or interests that people may have, because knowing these aspects of your prospects and your suspects, prospects, and customers, those are the three groups that go on your that you want to pay attention to, you know what to expect, and you can begin to develop a message. And by the way, we had a bit of a discussion today about the importance of a CRM system. That stands for Customer Relationship Management. It turns out, and this is a huge problem, and it doesn't go away, so many small business owners do not have customer relationship management programs or databases, whatever you want to call them. Sometimes they put information on Excel spreadsheets, but when you consider how much information you should be capturing that will give you the power to communicate with people that you want to serve, your spreadsheet would be this long. So you need to have a spreadsheet. You need to get rid of the spreadsheet, and you need to have a CRM system. Now, I personally had access on my computer for decades, And once I paid for it, that was it. I never had to pay for it again. And it was a resource for my business. It kept me in business. But today there are a lot of people that are using cloud-based systems. So two that I know you can look at would be one's from HubSpot, H-U-B-S-P-O-T. It's a company that actually helps its clients get found online. And they developed a CRM system for that's free. So you can download HubSpot free CRM, C-R-M, and see if that's a system that you can work with. Zoho is another company that has a system that you can download. However, they do charge a subscription fee for that. One came across my desk just this morning that I have not looked at. It was called Copper. So that's something to look at. And then somebody mentioned, and I should have written it down, but somebody mentioned in the meeting today that another CRM system they use is like Easy CRM or something like that. So look for cloud-based systems that enable you to store your contact information so that wherever you are, you can access it. And there is a value in that. But forget the Excel spreadsheets. They just, if in the end, the information that you capture for on a spreadsheet is just becomes really unmanageable. Another thing we talked about today is the importance of understanding your industry. And so to do that, you have to keep your ear to the ground. So because when you pay attention to your industry, you can get leads that might turn into business opportunities or trade associations. And I'm amazed at how many people I've talked to over the years that don't have a clue that there's a trade association for people who are in that their particular line of business. They're everywhere. Every industry has a trade group. There may be conferences that you can attend, trade events. There may be blogs or newsletters that go out on a regular basis. It's a place to meet influencers who can give you advice on how to, to give you referrals. And there may be people that would be willing to give you some advice about the industry. So know your industry inside and out because that will help you to further define your target. Also, you need to know your competition because you need to know what they can and can't do. After all, very few people don't have competition. We all have some form of competition. So you need to know who they are because assess what they don't do well, because then you want to become really good at those things that they don't do well. From a sales standpoint, you can say to your targets, well, unlike the other guys, this is what we do. But you got to know your competition. Read their websites, talk to people who have worked there or worked, done business with them. So know your competition. Again, that's going to help you further define your target audience. So that's a very good thing. The other thing is make sure that your product and service is suitable for the market that you want to go after. Know your customers and what their problems are. After all, if you don't solve a problem, you just don't have a business. So understand what their problems are and then develop a product or service that's going to meet those needs. And be a lifelong learner. I was amazed. Today I asked for a raise of hands how many people have actually in the room have taken courses on selling skills, not product training, but selling techniques. And there were literally out of 25 people, we'll say, were there. Maybe three or four people raised their hands. And yet, every one of us in business has to sell something to put food on the table. And yet, nobody raised their hands, Harley. How do they know what to say? And so they said, well, where can we go to take classes? I said, well, I teach selling skills at Raritan Valley Community College in North Branch, New Jersey, and I teach it a couple times a semester, so that could be a start. Some sales courses are expensive, and I think that if you can attend my class where I customize it for those who are in the room, it's better. At least you get your money's worth, that's for sure, and there are many, many takeaways. In fact, what I talk about is the mistakes that salespeople make, and I've identified about 11 or 12 mistakes that they make. So we cover them. If you can overcome those mistakes and do the right things, you'll speed up the selling process. I also talk in my classes about the process that a sale takes. So you can begin to see, I show almost like a flow chart. So it gives you an idea of how a sale takes place. Very important, so that you don't make the mistakes that I've identified. So just before I get into a little exercise that I'm going to share with you, that I explain to them, it's very important that you identify your suspects, and then you turn them into prospects if qualify, and then of course you want to turn them into customers. And by the way, every one of your customers has a lifetime value. Now, if you're selling vacuum cleaners, I don't know how many you're going to sell to somebody in a lifetime. However, they could be referral agents for you and influencers. So you don't ever want to not contact with people that you've sold. Always keep in touch with people. And it helps to remind them that they made the right decision to do business with you. You want to have this inbound marketing mindset that I mentioned, because you want people to call you. You have to give them reasons. And I've already mentioned those to you. There also needs to be a call to action to get some people to do something, as opposed to just having a message that goes out that says in so many words, if you're ever interested, give us a call. That's what most advertising does. If you read it, most of them say, well, here's our phone number. Visit our website. That's for why? There's no call to action there. Today we also talked about fusion marketing, and this is where you form a relationship with another company that caters to the same clientele, but you're not in competition with them. And it's very much like if you've gone to a BNI, Business Network International, networking event or meetings. They're held weekly, I think. Yeah, they're weekly. They had a concept called power teams. It's the same difference. So you want to work with other people that will help to get you to the target that you want to serve. So those were a couple things that we talked about today. So before I share with you an exercise, and I'll show you what it looks like, it's all about horizontal and vertical marketing. And I have a visual here. If you can see this, you see the horizontal line and the verticals. I'm going to explain these. I'm going to go back to run some of our messages from our sponsors, and I'll be back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat. Know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
So taking a look at the weather, this is Vicki Lynn Morgan, by the way, Teachable Moments in Business. Let's see, it's mild today. It's in the mid-60s, and tomorrow there'll be a high of about 63 degrees with winds and light variables with a little bit of rain, perhaps. in the evening on Wednesday. Now, Thursday, what's happened? It'll be overcast with a high of, high of 69 degrees, and Thursday night cloudy with a low of about 60. So this whole week is actually pretty nice, actually. Friday, showers early, then thunder showers developing after later in the day with a high of 72 degrees. And then again, Friday night, some showers and thunder showers. So I guess Friday is going to be a rainy day. So if you have to be outside or you're getting your gardens ready, now is the time to do it in between the clouds and a little bit of rain, which not going to be that much. So that's your extended forecast. So the whole purpose of this talk today is identifying your target audience. So I've shown you this graphic, and you can draw lines like you see here. There's your horizontal line, and then there's verticals. Now, the horizontals are what I call the everybody line. Those horizontals can represent a geographic area that you want to work in, or it might be a general category of business. Now, if you don't know who needs you, the verticals have to consist of clusters of organizations or companies that know people that you want to get to. So how do you get to the end user or the customer that you truly want to serve? So a couple of examples that I used today for the audience. One of them was a woman that I met who made veils for brides. And she didn't know who was getting married. So she ran an advertisement in a bride magazine one time, spent thousands of dollars. It was a full-page, four-color ad, got nothing out of it because people didn't know who she was. So if she had saved her money and connected with the people that serve the bride and the bridal party, she would have figured out who was getting married, and therefore she might have met people that she would make veils for. So who serves in the the wedding process? You got the wedding planner, you have the photographer, the invitation people, the caterers, the cake baker, the travel agent, entertainers. I mean, there are probably 12 different categories of service providers who help a bride get married. And so if that woman that made the veils was in contact with those people, she could become part of a power team in order to serve the bride to get her married. Another example I used came from my industry. I used to represent a company that made grooming scissors for dog and pet groomers, and they did not want to sell to groomers directly because a groomer may only buy a pair of scissors here or there periodically. They last a pretty long time usually. So my goal as a sales rep for the manufacturer was to reach out to people that knew people. So in the grooming industry, the groomers use the services of people that sharpen scissors and who also sell them. There are mail order catalog companies that sell grooming supplies. There are grooming schools that have their students buy shears and other grooming implements that they can use to practice their grooming talents. And then there are distributors who make deliveries, actually physical deliveries, of different supplies for groomers, including shampoos or crates or bows or ribbons or whatever it is that they sell. So my job as a rep for the manufacturer was to reach out to those four categories. I could figure out who was in those categories, and I could find them online through directories. It was easy, but not everybody has that luxury. So if you're working in a particular geographic area and you know that you want to serve certain types of people, you have to figure out where they go, who are they, and where do they hang out. And what really drives me nuts is when somebody says to me, well, my target audience is women between the ages of 35 and 60 who have a household income, high-end income of $500,000 a year. And I say, okay, well, who are they, and where do they hang out? I mean, you've got to know where to get to them. And I think that's something that people miss, because every time I read a business plan or I talk to people that are either in business or starting up, they give me this vague description of who their target is. But it still boils down to who are they and where do they hang out. You've got to figure out how to get to them. So let's say that a woman has a a program that helps moms with their children. Well, you don't know who has kids and how to get to them, but what about the pediatricians? There may be some nursing or healthcare associations that know who the moms are, that moms belong to groups online. They may like to go to exercise facilities while their kids are in school, so maybe that's a way to get to them. Those become those four vertical targets. If you want to do business in several towns in New Jersey, for example, go back and look at your customer base and where do they live. You may discover that your customers live within a certain radius of where you're located. Or they may live in certain, they may be clustered in certain towns around New Jersey. So then, do marketing to the people who live in those areas, because hopefully the people that you've already served will give you an exposure or a referral because of with the people that live in those neighborhoods. So maybe there are community centers, community bulletin boards. A lot of churches have bulletin boards that people can read. Maybe it's a matter of supporting a raffle in those towns where you get your name out there. So you go where you need to go where you want to find customers and where you can get exposure and support. You do want to turn your customers into evangelists for your business. If you do a good job with a customer and you supply them with the services and they're happy campers, hopefully they'll talk you up. Where are they located? Do you need to have some exposures in those same areas? Maybe they're community bulletin boards. I don't believe in spending a lot of money on advertising. In fact, I think you need to get as much awareness going using social media and other organizations that will help you get known before you spend a ton of money. In fact, if you spend money after you've done what I call the undercurrent of awareness thing, people will see the advertisements and say, oh, I've heard of that person. But if you just run advertisements and they never heard of you, the people that see those ads, you'll have to keep spending and spending and spending. Keep in mind that timing is an issue. People may want to do business with you, but they don't need you right now. So you've got to have a way to get multiple exposures to surround your target audience so that they will remember you when the time arises. A woman that I met today after I spoke is a realtor, and she, of course, acknowledged that she said every Tom, Dick, and Harry's a realtor. There's a lot of realtors out there. You have a lot of competition. But she said, well, how can I find customers? I said, well, look into niches and look into vertical categories. So, for example, and this may not be right for you if you're in real estate, but it's an idea. I said to her, people that are going into assisted living often are ready to sell their homes. So maybe she can give a talk at assisted living facility where they bring speakers in, and that might be something. Maybe there are retiree clubs out there that where the people are thinking about it's time to move. Maybe she needs to give a talk there. There's just so many things you can play around with to see what works. Again, there's no magic bullet here, but if you find a system that works for you, go for it. One thing that I did point out today is that you have to follow the chain of command or the connectors or the channel partners so that you understand how business works, too. I mean, who does business with whom? I used to do a lot of what I call pull-through marketing, which I pointed out to the people in that meeting today. And by having a database, I was able to keep track of who did business with whom. And there were times that I could push a button on my program and bring up a list of people that somehow were connected, and I could reach out to them with a message that would resonate with them. Very important. It's a puzzle. There's a lot of things that you want to think about. As you're in not only starting a business but building it and sustaining it. So another thing that came out was just a sidebar in a way, but this one woman, a realtor, had a meeting with someone, and she called them back later and found out that prospect was going to do business with another realtor, and she was pretty disappointed about it. What I pointed out to her is that the last when she met with this prospect the last time. She should have made arrangements for the next engagement. And unfortunately, salespeople, and this is because they don't have training, they leave it to the they put the ball in the prospect's court, when in fact the salespeople has to have the job of continuing the relationship and advancing the relationship. So she should have said to, pardon me, boy, I've got a cold. Apparently, she should have said to the prospect, "We've had a great conversation here. I would like to get back in touch with you. So what would I like to call you next week? Would next Tuesday or Thursday be better for you?" So it's the job of the salesperson to keep the relationship going. You cannot assume that somebody's going to call you back. Everybody's busy. You have too much competition. You have to be very proactive as a salesperson. Let's see. I'm going to... I have a quickie news break, and then I'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
With Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report set to be released on Thursday, the White House is coming up with a counter report to be released shortly after the redacted Mueller material is released. Anthony Scaramucci, former Trump White House Director of Communications, tells CNN.
He's expecting that all the good news is out there now, and there's 400 pages of information. Somebody like the president would have the sense to know that in 400 pages, there's more than syllables. There's likely paragraphs that probably are going to look not great for him or people in the administration or people in the transition.
The president's attorneys have promised such a rebuttal to Mueller's nearly 400-page report for months. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is traveling in Europe with a congressional delegation of both Democrats and Republicans. They're now in Ireland, where Brexit is to be one of the main topics of discussion. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. We're coming down to the wire, so I just wanted to repeat once again that it's all about making money with the skills and the services that you offer by making sure that you're focusing on the right target audience. And don't choose too many targets, and don't have any more than three or four clusters of or categories of targets that you're going to go after, because the people who in those clusters probably know each other. They may belong to the same organizations, and the messages that you give them, that you send out through either verbal or written documents or through your website, will all be designed in a way that will resonate to the people who you're focusing on. So I do a lot of counseling for small business owners, and as I told one of the ladies today at the meeting, I don't want my clients to hang around. I can get people up to speed pretty quickly in a couple hours. So if you would like to have me, if you'd like to discuss with me what your concerns are about your business, I'll let you know if I can help you. And if so, we can work together for a couple hours, and I guarantee you'll leave with with homework and things that you can do. So again, my phone number is 908-832-9544, and my email address is vmorgan@russmore.com. Also, if you know someone who would like to be interviewed on this program, someone who has information that they're willing to share with our listeners, that would be wonderful. Or if there are topics that you would like us to cover, that's another thing. Let me know what you'd like to talk about. And we'll do a program on it. you know, and I've been in business for well over 40 years. There's so much knowledge that's up here, and I'd be more than happy to share it with people. One last statement I did want to share with you. One of our other businesses is Rusmore Marine, and we sell floating docks that are modular for people who have waterfront property. And we're about to install on our dock a yak port, which is actually a special floating dock that attaches to my regular dock that makes it easy to get in and out of a kayak or a rowboat without falling in the water first. So if you know anybody who has waterfront property and they have wooden docks or old floats that drums filled with foam or boxes filled with foam and they're starting to break down, they need to look at the brand that we have. And they can be seen on Rusmore Marine. So that's a little plug. My husband takes care of that business. So I look forward to having you come together, come back next week. I do have a guest, and it escapes me who's coming, but I do have I have somebody scheduled. So please join us again next time, and I guarantee that there will be takeaways from any of the presentations that I do. So, again, don't forget, identify your target audience. Remember that you can't be all things to all people. And thank you for joining us today, and I'll see you next week, next Tuesday from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
With Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report set to be released on Thursday, the White House is coming up with a counter report to be released shortly after the redacted Mueller material is released. Anthony Scaramucci, former Trump White House Director of Communications, tells CNN.
He's expecting that all the good news is out there now, and there's 400 pages of information. Somebody like the president would have the sense to know that in 400 pages, there's more than syllables. There's likely paragraphs that probably are going to look not great for him or people in the administration or people in the transition.
The president's attorneys have promised such a rebuttal to Mueller's nearly 400-page report for months. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is traveling in Europe with a congressional delegation of both Democrats and Republicans. They're now in Ireland, where Brexit is to be one of the main topics of discussion. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Damage assessments are being made on Notre Dame Cathedral after Monday's fire. Michel Picot is the president of Friends of Notre Dame de Paris, the group that raised funds for the restoration project that was underway before the fire.
We had even last week taken down the 16 monumental statues that adorn actually the spire, and now suddenly in a few hours we make a step backward, and so we will have much more to do to restore the cathedral.
It could take weeks to fully assess the damage. According to campaign campaign finance reports, Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar raised over $800,000 in the first 3 months of the year, putting her at the level of top fundraisers among House Democrats. Law enforcement officials in Minneapolis say 24-year-old Emmanuel Aranda was looking for a random adult to kill over the weekend before he threw a 5-year-old boy from a third-floor balcony at the Mall of America. The child was tossed down nearly 40 feet on Friday, leaving him with life-threatening injuries, including multiple broken bones and severe head trauma. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
President